Hey guys, welcome back to our podcast. So glad you're here. One of the things I love about God is he is so faithful to write a wild and redemptive story in each of our lives. And then the way that God weaves all of our stories together for his glory, it leaves me in awe so often. And so today, I want to introduce you to Brad Miller. I've known Brad for a long time, but we sat down for lunch recently, and he was telling me his story in greater depth. And I was just, in awe of the redemptive work that God has done in your heart, God has done in your mind. You know, the scripture says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We need to hear stories from men who have been through the valley of the shadow of death and have walked out the other side and can now look back and see God's healing, God's redemptive hand in it. And so, Brad, thanks for being here. Really appreciate you, your willingness to share some of your story. And I want to jump in, just kind of drop into your story right before it got hard. And so at the time, you had an influential role in a very prominent ministry. And so from the outside looking in, I think for many who would look at your life, it's like, wow, you are flying high. Things are great. And then things got really hard for you.
Yeah, they did. They did, Gabe. And not to go into all the detail, because this really needs to be about God's, God's work on my heart, right? And my mind and my soul. And, for me during that period of time, I was hiding a lot for one thing.
Yeah.
Because, I didn't have a lot of people that I could go to and share the challenges I was facing in my marriage. And during that period of time, I found myself, separated from my wife three separate occasions. And, there was a period of time where I spent really complaining to God about the fact I was where I was. And in my complaints, I really didn't have a lot to say about my own part of the problem. And I remember as clear as it was day, that God just almost like a lightning bolt, I was praying and I was pointing my finger at all the people outside of me
who were the problem. Gotta fix them.
Yeah.
Fix all these people.
If only, right? If only they would, fill in the blank. And I heard this inner voice so clearly say, Brad, until you're willing to take 100% of the responsibility for your 100% of this problem, you're never going to be the man I want you to be. And it crushed me. I began to weep. I just felt like I had, I realized in that moment just how little introspection I had done and how little of my own heart I had assessed throughout that entire process. And that set me on a journey to really just stop the finger pointing and recognize that I can't control my wife, can't control others. The only person I can control is me. And so God put me on this journey to really lean in and really get a sense of what he wanted me to learn through this. Mm-hmm. It is really important, really important. I shared this with you before we started that I'm faced with people who ask me about my divorce all the time. People who didn't know who I bump into in town who weren't aware that I was divorced. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about my divorce, I don't talk about specifics much. But one thing I do say almost 100% of the time is God hates divorce, and he hated my divorce. But I don't know if folks will understand this. I am a better man for going through it. God's redemptive hand was just all over me, and he provided beauty from ashes that that I would have never seen otherwise. And that doesn't mean the divorce was good.
Yeah.
It means that God is good.
Mm-hmm.
God is good in the middle of the worst experiences of our lives and experiences that we brought on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so he's a redeemer.
Yes, he is. That's well said. Hey, could you take us into what that was like when you were in those dark moments? Because you can look back now and you can see his redemptive hand, but when you were walking through it, it was, I'm sure, agonizing for you. Can you take us into some of those experiences of what was it like when you were walking it out?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I cannot emphasize enough the importance of community, of fellowship, and of church. New Life Church Sunday mornings was a lifeline. It was the, it was the best hour and a half of every week of my life for years, because of the solitude I was living in, and the fact that I was there and I was able to cry out to the Lord in a way that I wasn't in other times of my life. So the fellowship and the importance of just being there when I didn't want to be there. But really leaning into that and letting God put me in a really awkward place, because I would stand in praise and worship and I would weep with tears rolling down my face. And he met me there.
Yes.
You know, he met me there. And I'll tell one really just it's the story that that really is the story of redemption in my life, and this encapsulates all of it. The God is a God who is here. He is near. He is not absent. During the second of three separations, I ended up at my parents' place. I'm living in my parents' basement, right? it's humbling enough, right? But it was really important for me not to share any of the issues that I was dealing with my former spouse, with my parents, because my desire was to reconcile, and I did not want their anger or frustration or bitterness.
You didn't want to muddy the waters.
No, and because I wanted to reconcile, I knew that at some point, if we did reconcile, that there that we would all be back together as a family. I didn't want my parents to have that burden to carry and the anger and bitterness because of things that had happened. And so I just didn't share a lot other than we were separated and there were, you know, significant enough issues that I needed a place to stay. And so, over the course of time, my father and I became increasingly, you know, at odds with each other because he just didn't understand. And I don't necessarily fault him for that. But one night I showed up after a workout back at the house, and Dad was waiting for me, and he said, he essentially said, I don't understand what's going on here, Brad. Who wears the pants in your family? It's time for you to leave. And I really didn't have anywhere to go. I mean, my entire paycheck virtually was going to cover the bills at the house, and I just didn't have any sort of direction on what the next step would be. And so I had in our first separation, I was in a similar situation, and I found myself just trying to figure out, where am I going to stay? Where am I going to put my head tonight? And there was a family in the church I was attending who had a home in Black Forest, and they had a cottage, I had heard, that they rented out, or they allowed folks to stay there, right, for periods of time if they needed it. And so I called them, and they said, absolutely, you can come stay here. It was the coldest January 30th on record, and I showed up there, and the pipes were frozen. Had a bathroom, but couldn't use it, right? And it was really Spartan. It looked like a frat house with a you know, those of you that know what a frat house looks like, you know, it looked like a frat house with just this dingy mattress on the floor, a small space heater, and a few old blankets in the room. And he gave me the key. He walked me inside and he said, "Brad, we don't have water in here. There's no heat, so you're gonna have to use a space heater. Really, Brad, this is a this used to be a chicken coop. A chicken coop that we made into a cottage, and it's really only supposed to be used during the summertime. But we know you're in a pinch, and so here you go." And I sat down after he walked away. I sat down on that dingy mattress. And I just said, "Lord, is this what it's come to? Is this it? I mean, I'm one step away from homeless, and I'm sitting in the middle of a chicken coop looking around going, like, is this my future?" And I had the biggest pity party mm-hmm. for like 3 months because I stayed there for about four. But over time, God began to soften my heart, and I found myself in the last month in the chicken coop having some of the most incredible moments with the Lord.
Yes.
Because there was no internet. There was no—
What else are you going to do?
I didn't have cell service.
Lord, it's me again.
Yeah. I didn't have cell service, you know? And so I'm sitting there going, "Okay, Lord, I guess it's the two of us, and I've got to face some things. I've got to face some things." And so, fast forward to our the next separation, which was 2 years, 2 year separation. My father says, "You've got to leave." I pack up my bags on a Sunday morning and head to church, not knowing where I'm going to lay my head that night. And I walk into New Life and I'm in praise and worship, and I weep the entire time. I have no idea where I'm going to be. And I began to— my mind began to drift to the chicken coop, mm-hmm. and I began to pray, "Lord, if you could only give me a place like the chicken coop, I promise I will not complain. If I could have a place like that."
And this was 2 years after you left the chicken
coop.
That's
correct. 2 years after, right? "If I could have a place like that, Lord, I will be satisfied. I will be satisfied. Please, Lord, provide me a space to go." I left praise and worship, left the service that day, and decided I was just going to drive around and probably end up at an extended stay hotel somewhere, right? As I was passing the area just in the hallway where there's ads posting rentals and things like that, you know, something caught my eye and I walked over, and there was a cottage for rent in Black Forest, and it was very similar to the chicken coop. And I looked at that and said, "Lord, like, if something—" I looked at the price, and they were asking like $900 a month for it. And there was no way I could pay that. There's no way. And so, but I still continued to pray. I said, "Lord, thank you." Like, I almost see that as a sign too, that you showed me a picture of something that reminded me of the chicken coop. Mm-hmm. Keep reminding me, Lord, that you're here, that you're with me, that you're present. And so I left church. I drove around the entire day.
Again, no idea where to go.
Idea where I was going to go. It started snowing. I mean, I drove, I don't know how many miles I drove, Gabe. I drove all around town. I ended up way out in past Falcon, just driving and praying and crying and crying out to the Lord. And my phone rings, and I hear this voice of a guy that I'd recently met at the gym. And we quickly had a conversation about where we were in life, and he was separated from his wife at the same time. And it had been about a month since I'd seen him, and he called me and said, "Hey, I reconcile with my wife. I'm back with my wife, and I would love to have you come out and have dinner with us. This was like 5 o'clock on a Sunday evening.
You're like, and I'll be there in 5 minutes.
I said, I cannot tell you how important this phone call is to me.
Yes.
I said, thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit and calling me, because I needed this. I needed you. Thank you. I'll be there. And he gave me the address, and I started my way back into town, and it is snowing like crazy, right? It's like whiteout conditions. I'm going, 30 miles an hour on Woodman heading west. And I get to Black Forest Road, and I turn right, and I go down, and I get to Shoop, and everything looks familiar to me, right? And I begin to think, okay, this is like really close to the chicken coop. And so I turn left on Shoop, head west, and it was snowing so hard, I had to go, 10 miles an hour just to see the addresses, tick off. And I'm watching the addresses tick off, tick off, tick off. And I stop dead in the middle of the road, because the address I'm looking at and the home I'm looking at is the home where the chicken coop was.
Yeah.
And this is the address he gave me. And I looked at it, and I looked back up, and I looked at it again. I said, this can't be right. Like, this isn't right. So I turn in the driveway, I pull up, and there's my friend in the window. So it's him. But this is the house, and that is the chicken coop.
And that wasn't the person who—
It was not the person 2 years prior who lived there, right? And so I'm in shock, really.
Yeah.
And so he finally sees me out in the parking lot, or pardon me, in the driveway, and he comes out and I said, "Bro, what are you doing, Brad? Like, come on in. It's food's on, right?" And I got out of my car and I said, you will not believe this. I said, I lived for 4 months in that chicken coop back there. He said, what? He said, come on in. It's cold, right? He said, come on in. And so I go in and I just share the story with them. And it turns out they had purchased this home just a couple months before this from the family that I lived with for that time. And I shared with them that entire story, and we just talked and we fellowshipped, and I left there encouraged. I mean, I left there going, okay, Lord, bringing me back here, reminding me of that moment, reminding me of your providence and your provision when I most needed it, was all I needed. I can move on. I can go. You've got this. I trust you.
You viewed that just as a wild experience that God was saying, hey, I see you. I've got you.
Right. Right. I'm looking at that going, okay, Lord, you do know me. You do see me. Right. And I left there and I got about a mile down the road. And my friend calls me and said, Brad, talk to my wife. And we want you to stay in our chicken coop. We want you to stay in the chicken coop. And I spent over a year there in the chicken coop. And I don't want to say I loved every moment of it. But I will tell you, God met me there in ways that I cannot even begin to share. Like, it's too intimate to share. And for those who are in that dark, dark place, God is there with you, even though you don't sense him or feel him or even believe that he's there. Your belief makes no difference to God. He is there.
He is there.
Right? He is there. And he longs for us to lean into that.
Mm-hmm.
and to trust Him, and to give over all of it. Give it all over to Him. Give it all over to Him. And to the best of my ability, I did that. It wasn't perfect, and it isn't perfect, but to the best of my ability, I gave up myself, at least for a time. Mm-hmm. And He took me through the darkest moments of my life in a way that only He could.
Yes, only God. That is an only God story. Like, only God could write a story like that, where the very morning you're worshiping with no idea where you're going to go, and you find yourself praying, if only God would make the chicken coop available. And then the way you end up there, yeah. It's beautiful. And you walked through the dark night of the soul. You walked through the valley of the shadow of death. The pain that you walked through was so intense. And I remember seeing you on some of those points along the way. I could see the pain in your eye. But you know what I also saw is a man that just kept taking one step at a time. You didn't know where the path was going. And I could see it in your eyes, just the pain. But I saw your resolve to walk into the unknown with God. And so that's why recently at lunch, when I heard more of the story, I was just like, wow, like this is our God. This is
That's right.
Who He is. This is how He leads us. Yep. We can't always see it.
Yep.
Oftentimes it doesn't make sense. Oftentimes in those dark, dark moments, we question, God, where are you at? What are you doing? Is this really what my life has come to? But now you can look back and say, oh, what a faithful God. And so,
That's right. And
the same God, this is what I love, is the same God who took you by the hand and led you faithfully is the same God that has all of us. And in the same way that He was faithful to you, Brad, He will be faithful to every man watching and listening.
That's right. It really does take being willing to sit in it, though. Allow yourself to sit in some of that pain and experience it and not go to other things, right? Not try to extinguish the pain with stuff.
Yeah.
And there's lots of stuff to extinguish the pain with, right? And so it requires something of us in that moment. But I'm living proof that God is there in the darkest moments. And there were moments where anybody going through a divorce or gone through the death of a loved one that is close to them, they have those moments where they cry out to God and say, I cannot go on. I do not know how I live another day. And I had countless days like that. Countless conversations with God like that. Lord, I don't know. I cannot stand one more moment of this. This pain is too intense. Please take it from me. And there were times where He chose to, and there are many times He didn't. But He called me to sit in it and trust Him in the middle of the darkness. And like I said, I didn't do it perfectly, but to the best of my ability, as often as I could, I did. And that was, for me, the most important, really, time in my life with the Lord, because it taught me to trust Him in the unknown spaces.
Yeah, you, while it was so bitter to walk through, now you realize you tasted and you experienced a depth of goodness in the heart of God.
Right. Yeah.
And something else that stands out to me is you highlighted at the beginning the importance of not going alone, of having people, a community, the strength of community.
That's critical. It is critical.
Walking with you. And now, this makes me smile. You're in the process of starting a fire team. We call our men's fire team groups here at New Life Fire Teams. And you're in the process of starting one, getting it up and going. And so you received the blessing of community from others, and now you're going to be offering it to other guys. Mm-hmm. And so as we close, Brad, would you pray for the guys who are watching this, who are listening to this, and they're in the middle of it right now. And they don't have the privilege of being able to look back right now and see how God is going to weave it all together and bring good out of it. They're just trying to take the next step. Like you were saying, God, how do I take the next step? Would you just pray for the men who are in that place?
Dear Father, I know there's men who are listening to this today who are in their most desperate hour, Lord. They're at a time in their life where they can't even imagine life going on or anything changing from their current circumstances, Lord. And you may ask them to walk in it a little bit further. But Lord, one thing is true. You are there and you are there for them. Lord, I pray for them, Lord, that you would give them a special sense of your presence right now, Lord, that throughout this day and throughout the coming days and weeks and maybe months for some of them, Lord, that you make yourself known to them in those tight, dark spaces, Lord, that they would just sense your presence, just sense that you are with them in the darkness, Lord. They are not alone. And Lord, I pray that you would provide them a humble spirit to be able to reach out to others, to bring close brothers who can fellowship with them, Lord, and who can walk this walk with them, because they cannot do this alone. So Father, I lift them up. I lift up the brokenhearted and the beaten down and the broken, Lord. And I ask that you would intervene in their lives, Lord God, that you would provide them the ability to see themselves clearly, to see their problems clearly, and to recognize you are the only solution to any of it. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let it be. Well, Brad, thank you for being willing to share your story.
Sure.
It's a hopeful story. And if you want more information about Brad's fire team that he's about to start or the many other options, you can see a complete list of our groups at newlifechurch.org.